I want to be sharing with you today on a message that I believe God has spoken to me for you. I believe this is a word that Christians need to hear everywhere. I'm going to talk to you about a miracle this morning. A different kind of miracle maybe than you might normally hear about, but a miracle in itself. The miracle of adversity. Yes, you heard me right. I'm going to talk about the miracle of adversity. This has got to be an area in our life that few of us have understood. There are so many things and statements made in the Bible that are what we might call absurd statements. Statements that we have a lot of trouble understanding. Consequently, for most of us, since we might not understand that particular scripture, and I certainly was guilty of this, I just thought, well, that's probably not for us, or either the writer didn't have me in mind, or that's not applicable today. And such a scripture is found in James, the first chapter, verse 2. I'd like to read this for you, and I'd like for you to listen to it, and then immediately would you just begin to think about what you thought the first time you read it or the last time you read this particular scripture. It says in the King James Version, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." Let me read that from the Amplified. It says, "Consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever you are enveloped in or encounter trials of any sort or fall into various temptations. Count it all joy." Have you ever faced a severe, unpleasant circumstance in your life? And all of a sudden you found yourself not counting it joy? One writer and one translator literally says, where this one says, "Count it all joy," he says, "Get hilarious." Who ever heard of a statement like this? When you're facing trial, things are not going like you'd planned, they're just not working out. Maybe the family's sick, maybe the car payment's past due, maybe you're out of work. Maybe there's more things than you think you can actually handle at the moment. And then you read from the book of James where he's saying, "Count it all joy." Or get hilarious about this particular set of circumstances. Well, if you read the scripture like I did for many years, you probably just passed over it. Or probably thought, well, it just doesn't mean anything. I just can't relate to that at all. Or why should I be happy about this particular situation? Why should I be joyful about it? In fact, the natural mind has a lot of trouble with this. And only as our own mind is transformed through the renewing of God's Word and His presence and power in our life are we ever able to understand this. It was only over a period of years that I experimentally learned about this basic principle and began to allow it to work in my life so that I began to live successfully even in the midst of conflicts and hardships and circumstances that were extremely unpleasant and certainly were not the kind of things you look forward to. But James had a real truth in mind. James knew what he was talking about. He was anointed of the Holy Spirit when he spoke these words to the church and to us today. And I want to say that you're fortunate to be here today. Because if you understand this and can get a hold of this scripture and can begin to apply it in your daily life, your life will never be the same again. You'll have a whole new level of understanding about the scripture and about what happens to you when adversity comes into your life. What do we mean by adversity? Let me just kind of give you several things that we might consider to be adversity. Number one, struggle. Polly, would you just, on the overhead, just kind of make a circle, and then in that, we're going to write the word so that the people in this audience and those who are listening by tape will be able to identify with some of the things we're putting on the board. This is not a total list, but it'll help you be able to identify. Second, failure. A lot of failures. A lot of people failing today. A lot of marriages failing. A lot of relationships are failing. A lot of businesses are failing today. More businesses are failing today economically than have ever failed in the history of the United States. People don't understand why and don't know how generally to respond to that. Also, defeat, conflict, suffering, and pain. Anything that is unpleasant can be considered to be adversity. Now, when this kind of thing begins to happen in our life, I know what I did most of my life. I began to complain. Now I began to say, oh God, why in the world did this have to happen to me? I mean, things were going pretty good. And I've been praying, and I've been giving, and I've been working, and I've been doing all these things, but how come this begins to happen to me, and I don't know what to do with it? And it's just not knowing what to do with these circumstances that come into our life that causes us not to respond properly. The older I get and the longer I live, the more I realize how simple life really is. And the more I understand that life really works with such few basic principles functioning in our lives. So many years ago, I thought, my, there's the longest list, and I've got to carry this long list in order to know exactly what to do and how to respond next. But if we can begin to establish some vital principles about how to live our lives every day, life becomes relatively simple when we learn how to respond. One of the things that has always thrilled me since I learned about it is that Jesus came to teach us how to live every day. I thought so many years ago, I really knew that he came to die and to be buried and to be resurrected. And this was going to bring us salvation the moment we accepted him and his blood to cover our sins. I also understood at some level that he literally would be able to identify with our problems. And then he was going to go back to the Father and be seated on the right hand of God. And that's where he's at right now. And he's there talking to the Father about you and me and about what's happening in our lives. He is there to intercede for us. He is there as an advocate, could be considered to be an attorney. He's there to explain to the Father what's happening in our life. And about the time that the Father has had about all he can stand of you and I, Jesus is there to say, oh no, Father, I've been there. I understand what he's feeling. I know what he's going through. As a teenager, he knows what you're experiencing right now. You may have just experienced a tremendous disappointment or a heartbreak. As a mom, you may have just had the worst kind of news that could ever come into a mother's life. Jesus understands this. He too has had news that was unpleasant. Every one of us, Jesus has already been there. Right where you are right now, whatever you're feeling right now, Jesus has already felt that. He hurts exactly like you hurt today. And he understands that, and he's there communicating with the Father, And he's saying to the Father, I understand what he or she is experiencing now. And he ministers strength and aid to our lives. Maybe you just lost your job. Maybe you're about to lose your house. Maybe you're about to lose your car. Maybe things are just going to pot in general in your life. And you're saying, I don't know what to do. Why is all of this happening to me? First of all, Jesus can relate to every problem you have. That's why he's at the right hand of the Father. The third thing he came to do was to teach us how to live every day. He did that, and then he recorded it, or had it recorded, by the men who were with him, who recorded the acts of his life. And they wrote down, and they literally contain every principle that makes life work today. And this is one of those principles. If you can get a hold of this principle, life will change for you today. And I believe you're going to get a hold of it. God's going to help you. I prayed last night. As I woke up early this morning, I was praying again. Oh, God, help the people who are hungry for your word today to receive it. And let it be an answer in their lives. Let them understand what's happening and what can happen in their life if they respond correctly in this particular situation. How many of you in this live audience would like to be perfect? Can I see your hand? No tricks. I never play tricks on people. Just raise them up high if you'd like to be perfect. Thank you. How many of you would like to be fully developed? Let me see your hand. Hold them up high. Hold them up high. I don't want... Yeah, good, thank you. How many of you would like to be to the place in the Lord that you were literally lacking in nothing? Can I see your hand? Yes. Every one of us want to be there. As we walk with Jesus, we want to be that kind of a perfect person. Now, remember that the word perfect here is not the kind of word and does not mean what you and I normally think of when we think of the word perfect. It literally means that you're on your way, that you are growing, that you are in the process of becoming, that God is at work in your life. I like the first chapter of Philippians, verse 6. And it simply says, I won't turn to it, but it simply says that Jesus will go right on working with you. The Holy Spirit will go right on working with you and with me right up till the day that Jesus comes back. He doesn't say to one of you, I'm going to give you 6 years, and to another I'll give you 12 years, and to another I'll give you 30 years. He just says, I'm going to go right on working with you right up till the day that I come back. That takes all the pressure off, doesn't it? That's what the Lord wants to do. He doesn't want you to live under pressure. All of us, I believe all of us, would like to grow faster than we're growing. We'd all like to become more than we are right now, but somehow or other we find ourselves growing rather slowly from time to time. Other times it seems fairly fast. But whether it's fast or slow, no matter where you are with the Lord today, when Jesus comes back, he's going to have just continued to work with you and with me right up till the day that he comes back. That's exciting. That's exciting. Had he given all of us a limit or a time that we had to reach a certain level in him, we would all, from time to time, be under some kind of pressure. But this takes the pressure off as he says, I'm going to go right on working with you right up till the day I come back to get you wherever you are. Verse 4, let me read verse 3 and 4. Polly, would you read that for me in the Amplified, please? James chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Would you read that for me, please?
Be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith bring out endurance and steadfastness and patience. But let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work, so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed, with no defects, lacking in nothing.
How do you get that? By the difficulty and the adverse circumstances that come to our life. When adversity begins to come to our life, they come to help develop and grow us. This is the reason that James says, be happy. One writer, as I've already said, literally says, get hilarious about it. I mean, whoever heard of facing some kind of a painful, failing, conflicting situation, and you're just hilarious about it. I mean, you're just overjoyed about it. Well, what the scripture is really saying is that we must have the right attitude toward it. See, the moment you and I begin to complain about the struggles and the defeats in our life, we literally, with that negative attitude, begin to attract the negative forces of this world to us. And things generally continue to go bad. The moment, here's the key, the moment that you and I begin to have the right attitude in the painful, struggling, hurting situation, the positive forces of God begin to come to us to help us and to give us the strength and the aid that we need, and things begin to change with our positive attitude. Let me take you to Matthew. Matthew, the 5th chapter. I want to read verse 4. Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 4. Another scripture that we've had difficulty with. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. I read that years ago and I thought, what in the world does this scripture mean? You know, I thought of the mourning as the mourning that was experienced around a funeral situation, and I thought about history and how it talked about the mourning that took place back even in the Bible days, when the Bible was being written, when Jesus was here. When somebody died, the people would come together with sorrow, and there would be a lot of mourning. And so I thought of this, and actually this is a little bit humorous, but the people who didn't have a lot of friends, they would pay people to come in and mourn at the death. The family would. They'd pay them. They'd come in and they would sit around all day and mourn. And the more people you had mourning at a time like that, the better send-off you got. You know, the better person you were, the more you were respected. They thought, boy, this guy must really be important in this community, or he wouldn't have this many people here mourning at his death. So while they were waiting, during the wait for him to be buried, here's all these people come in, and they're paid now to literally sit around and mourn and wail. And so I thought of this as the proper interpretation for this particular scripture years ago when I studied it but didn't understand it. Let me give you the meaning of the word mourn. It means to draw strength from a painful or adverse experience. Oh, if you can get a hold of that, church. Now then, we're beginning to see an unfolding of what James was talking about. He is saying, if you, in the midst of your conflicts, in the midst of your struggle, in the midst of your pain, in the midst of the failures and hurting situations that you're experiencing, if you can draw strength from that painful experience. He said, then you'll be comforted. Polly and I, several years ago, began to study the Bible in a whole new way. We began to study it word by word by word in the mid-70s. We would sit down with our Bible, and I would use this old parallel New Testament, which has four translations in it, which made it easy for me to, because each verse is right across the page in four different translations, so I could read it in the Amplified, the Revised Standard, and the Living Bible, and others. I could read it right on the same page. It was better than having four Bibles in your lap trying to understand it. Then when we came to a word we didn't understand, we would look in the Strong's Concordance, studying this together, look up the word to find out what the word actually meant, because it has a complete dictionary. In the New Testament, which was written in Greek, has a Greek dictionary that gives the meaning of every word in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, which was written in Hebrew and Chaldean, there's a Hebrew dictionary and Chaldean dictionary that give the meaning of the words. So as we began to study the Bible word for word, it was then we began to understand God's Word and begin to be able to live by it every day. This word, mourn, literally means to draw strength from that painful experience. To draw strength from the painful experience. So what God wants to happen right now in your life and in my life is whenever you face a painful experience, an adverse circumstance, He wants you to be able to draw strength from that, which will make you a better Christian. In fact, James says that it will literally develop patience in your life. I believe, this is my personal feeling, I believe that patience has got to be one of the top qualities in the Christian today. I believe the Christian who is unmoved by adverse circumstances, who is untouched by it, who does not allow it to blow him sideways every time some little something happens or big something happens, I believe that kind of a Christian is having an overwhelming effect on our world today. The word patience literally means trial by fire. You got to go through the fire. You got to experience it in order to ever get patience in your life. You'll never have it any other way. It's not something that you can just immediately pray for and then have. You have it as you walk through struggling, painful, hurting, conflicting, failing situations with the right attitude. And then when you come to the point and to the place in your life that you can go through the conflicts and be unmoved by it, undisturbed by it, it is then and only then that we begin to have an overwhelming effect on other people. Why do we need this, Perry? First of all, we need this for our own lives, for a real deep peace in our hearts, so that everything that comes along in a form of pain or struggle or defeat or conflict or failure or suffering just can't blow us out. And then we need it so that people around us will understand that there is a place in the Lord that you can be that nothing can move your life. Praise God for that place. And God is bringing the church to that place today, to where we're unmoved. There's more problems going to be ahead. I didn't come today to sound like a preacher of doom, but there's problems ahead of our world today. There's a lot of hurting ahead of us today. We're not through it all now that we're beginning to feel a kind of an upswing in our economy. We're not out of the woods. We haven't solved our economic problems. We did paper them over by running off more paper money, which is of no value, to pay off the debts and establish more debts. But we got more problems ahead of us. And only as the church is able to face problems and conflicts in this world and be able to maintain a deep relationship with Jesus, be unmoved by it, undisturbed by it, will we be able to bring this world to know Jesus. There's something inside of me that says we're going to bring this world to know Jesus. I say that even in the midst of knowing that there are millions of people that do not know the Savior. But I believe that God's bringing the church to a new level in Him. To a new level in Him. To where we can walk with Him and understand that He is in perfect control in every situation of our life. He said, He wants us to draw strength from. He says, blessed. The word blessed means happy. Happy. To be envied. Look at that scripture again with me. Let me just kind of unfold it a little bit as Polly and I would unfold it if we were studying it together today. The word happy there in the fourth verse, the fifth chapter of Matthew, says, Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The word here means to happy. To be envied is the man who draws strength from painful experiences. The next word says, for he shall be comforted. And that word means that strength and aid will rush to his side. Listen to that scripture. To be envied. This is the fourth verse. To be envied is the man who draws strength from painful experiences, for strength and aid will rush to his side. So when you face adversity, understand that you need to have the right attitude about it. And what happens in most of our lives is we go through our life experiencing the same failures, the same defeats, the same struggles that we've always experienced, never growing from those particular experiences. But that's not what the Lord wants to happen. A history teacher in a classroom said one day to her class, first day of class, studying ancient history, I mean, you couldn't be in a drier subject. The teacher said, there's one question, and the answer to that question is going to be on every weekly exam, every daily exam, every 9 weeks exam. It's going to be on your final test, and if you don't learn that one answer to that question, you're going to fail this course. It's going to count 50% of every test that you take, that one answer. You better learn the answer to that question. What is the question, teacher? The teacher said the question is, why do we study history? Something a lot of our kids would like to know. Let me give you the answer. The answer is, and she said, I want this to appear on your test paper every day, every week, as often as I ask it. And here's the answer. That we might learn from the mistakes of others. You see, many Christians today who are 50 years old are still going through the same problems they've been going all of their lives. Never learning anything from those painful, hurting situations that they've been going through. God wants us to not just go through these painful situations. He wants us in those to draw strength in our life. And I have experimentally learned this principle. When I began to get a hold of this, I promised myself that every painful situation that I go through, I am going to learn from that experience. I'm going to draw strength from that so that I won't make that same mistake again. Did you know that in the world, we're still making exactly the same mistakes our world's been making all through the years? Our government makes the same mistakes, both our city, state, county, federal. We make the same mistakes in our churches year after year after year. We make the same mistakes in our individual lives because we have never been told that we're to learn from those painful experiences. And when we learn from them, be able never to make those mistakes again in our life. Can you relate right now to something that you learned in a hurting, painful situation in your life, and you said then, I won't ever make that one again, and you've been able to live up to that? You were wiser. You drew strength from that painful, hurting experience in your life. That is the miracle of adversity. Let me show you the key. In the midst of pain and suffering and struggle, God puts a seed of equivalent benefit in every one of those situations. A seed of equivalent benefit in every situation. In other words, in every hurting, failing, defeating, struggling situation, God puts a seed. Now, He doesn't just go around saying, well, I'll throw one in this person's life, or I'll throw one in this person's life, or I'll put one over there. This is a law. This is a law. It's like all other laws. It's like the law of gravity. It never fails to work. I don't care where you go, the law of gravity always works. This is a law. God made this law just like He made the law of gravity. He puts the seed of equivalent benefit in every unpleasant circumstance your life will ever face. So what do? The very moment that you begin to suffer, begin to fail, begin to feel conflict or defeat in your life, you begin to say, there's got to be something good in this situation. There's got to be something good in it. Because God has given you the power and me the power to release into every situation that comes into our life a power that turns bad things into good things. Romans 8:28. Turn with me, will you please? Polly, will you turn there? I'd like for you to read that. Just a moment. God has given us the power. See, we're not just at the mercies of circumstances. We're not at the mercies of Satan. We are actually in control of the situation. We have the power to turn every conflict, every discomfort in our life into a beautiful experience. Baby, read that scripture, will you?
We are assured and know that God, being a partner in their labors, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to those who love God and are called according to His design and purpose.
What is that scripture saying, darling? What? In your own words, what is it saying?
It means that God takes everything that happens to us and works it all out and creates good from it. Doesn't mean that everything that happens is good.
Is that right?
But it means that God, if we will have the right attitude toward that, God will work it for our good.
How can that ever happen, that God can take things that are bad or unpleasant? How does that... Could you give me an example of that?
Well, when we go to make a cake, we take baking powder and raw eggs and milk and flour and put it all together, and it comes out a good cake. But if I took a big spoonful of the flour and tried to eat it by itself, it would be terrible. Or the shortening, or any of the ingredients, maybe the sugar, we could handle that. But any of the ingredients that go into making anything normally isn't good by itself, but you mix it all together and with the right attitude in the oven, it comes out good.
You think it'd come out good if I put all that together and made a cake? I may try that and see if that...
Okay.
I don't know if it would or not. But normally, if you did it right, it would turn out good. But none of the ingredients, very few of the things that happen, very few of the ingredients that go into the cake are biscuits. Oh, man. I like to watch you make biscuits. And a few days ago when you were making those homemade biscuits and then some gravy and I cut... I'm sorry, y'all haven't had breakfast either, huh? We're serving them at the house immediately after this meeting. You just cut those big biscuits open, brown on the top and the bottom, and pour the gravy over them. And then, oh, that's got to be the... I've decided that this is what they're going to have at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Homemade biscuits and gravy. That's what's going to be the menu. Well, none of those things, few of those things that go into the biscuits or into the cake is good in itself. But blended together, it comes out good. Isn't that great? That's what God says will happen in your life and mine. The things that are happening right now in your life, the stress that you're feeling, the discomfort that you are experiencing, the loss that you have experienced recently, the defeat that you've just gone through. You say, Perry, it really tastes bad. It don't feel a bit good. It hurts. But God says, and see, that's a misconception. Because there is an idea today that everything that happens is good. That's not what the Bible says. It says it will work for good if you do two things. Number one, love God. Number two, fit into His plan. That's God's responsibility. Your responsibility, or my responsibility, is simply to love God, fit into His plan, and then what is God's responsibility? Make all things work for your good. Oh, I just see the Holy Spirit lifting the hearts and lives of people this morning as they realize that what they're in the midst of is an opportunity to develop spiritually. A few years ago, Polly and I were gone from the house a little bit and came back home to see our home burning to the ground. We had understood this scripture at some level at that time. We'd been studying the scriptures for a number of years, just studying the Bible and praying on a daily basis, doing nothing else, almost nothing else. And we began to get a hold of this. When our home burned and 36 years of all the neat little things Polly had gathered and we'd put in the house were suddenly gone. And we stood there in each other's arms with a peace that could not be shaken. A joy in our hearts. Why? Because we knew that God said, I will take all of the things that happen in your life, if you love me and are fitting into my plan, and I will work them for your good. A lot of people didn't understand that. We didn't understand all about it, but we believe God's word, and that's all that's important today. You don't have to understand how this all works. You just understand that you have the power to release into every situation that happens in your life a power that changes a bad situation into something being good in the outcome. Well, today we live in a home that's been completely restored and rebuilt. God spoke to us at that time and said, I'll give you beauty for ashes. We kept that sign, a reminder, sitting in a little trailer house for 2.5 years, saying God said He'll give us beauty for ashes. He spoke to us again and said, when I give this back to you, I'm going to make Satan pay. And it'll be 7 times more beautiful than it was when it was destroyed. If you could see it, you'd say that it is at least 7 times more beautiful than when it was destroyed. God has a way of helping you release His power into every situation that you're facing right now. Your family just separated. Husband just left. Is that good? No, it's not what He said. He said, I'll work it for your good. Learn, draw strength from that painful situation. Develop the right attitude. Have the right attitude. James said it by saying, be happy. Have the right attitude toward it. When you do, you release God's power into it. Where do these unpleasant circumstances come from? 4 sources you'll be interested to know. Number one, often there are things that we have caused. Generally, it happens from things that we directly have caused. Occasionally, it will be things that others have caused to happen. You had nothing to do with it. Some of you are facing that kind of a situation today. You were thinking earlier, yeah, but what about the actions of other people? God's Word covers that. You didn't intend to fail. Wasn't your plan that the business went wrong? Wasn't your idea that things didn't go like you had planned it when you decided to make that investment or take that step of venture with somebody else? And now then you're struggling and maybe you've been paying. Somebody here has been paying for over 5 years on a financial loss. You got in because somebody said this is a good deal and you joined them. You said, I didn't do anything wrong. Somebody else caused this thing. That's true. And then third, occasionally Satan will attack whatever we're doing. And it's important that I say this right now. We really need to know, if we possibly can, why it did happen. What caused it? And number four, occasionally God will design an experience for you and me that we can learn through that painful, adverse circumstance. God occasionally did it. Why did He do it? Well, He said in that 4th verse that Polly Baby read a moment ago, that we can be perfect. We can be with no defects. We can actually reach a level where we will be lacking in nothing, but it only will happen if we learn from the painful experience. If we draw from the painful experience, then we will be able to enjoy the fruits of perfection, lacking nothing in our lives, with literally no defects in us. He said a moment ago, Carey, I'd like to be perfect. I'd like to be lacking in nothing in my life. I'd like to be the place that I have it all together. Only when these tests come and you and I respond correctly can this ever take place in our life. We go on being weak Christians. We go on being without power and strength in our life. God wants to bring every one of you to a place to where nothing that comes in your life can shake you or shake your faith. He wants you to come to the place that nothing in this world can move you. Paul was there. He said, nothing moves me. Nothing. Nothing that's come my way has been able to turn me to the right hand or the left hand. Why? He had learned from adverse circumstances. He allowed the miracle to happen in his life. The miracle of adversity. What do I do? Let me quickly review. In order to allow this to happen, understand that you must have the right attitude. Understand where it comes from. Some of these things we actually have caused. Maybe it was ignorance on our part. Maybe it is things we just didn't think out. Maybe it was things we didn't get the right advice. Maybe we didn't get all the counsel we needed. But we caused it. Things that other people caused, the actions of other people. And then occasionally Satan just outright attacks our lives. And then occasionally God designs an experience for us. Let me ask you a question. Think about this question before you answer it. It's a tricky question. Was Jesus a perfect man? Oh, sure wasn't. That's what I thought. I thought, you got to be crazy, man. He was perfect. Now, I'm not talking about, again, was he sinful? He was not sinful. He did no wrong. He did not commit one sin. Turn with me. Hebrews, the 2nd chapter. Let's look at verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory. Look at these words. To make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. If you care to later, just for your own information, look at Hebrews, the 6th chapter. I won't take the time to read it, but in case you'd like to read it later, 6th chapter of Hebrews, verse 7, 8, and 9 says basically the same thing. Now, where was he lacking in perfection? Scripture says that he was simply not equipped to fill the role that God had designed him to fill. That the responsible position that God had designed him to fulfill, he was not yet equipped for that. Right now, sir, God is equipping your life. Right now, Dad, God is equipping your life. Teenager, God knows all about the future. Psalms 139, the Living Bible says that He planned every day of your life. He not only planned it, He recorded it in His book. Read it in the Living Bible, verse 13, 14, 15, and 16. It said He recorded every day of your life in His book. Is that predestination? Don't think so. It's pre-planning. God pre-planned your life and wanted it to be and fit a certain mold. But it's up to you to choose to do that. Every day, you ought to be saying, Lord, what did you write down in your book for me today? Now help me to do that in my life. How many of you still would like to be lacking in nothing, with no defects, and perfect as a Christian? Let me see your hand. Hold them up high. It's all right to do that. Thank you. Jesus wants that to happen. He wants that to happen. But step one is for us to have the right attitude in that situation. Right now. You say, Perry, you don't know what I'm going through with. No, I really don't. But I know the word in Romans 8, 28 said, He will take all things and work them for your good. If you love God and are fitting into His plan, that's all that needs to happen. If you love Him, if you're fitting into His plan, then God is obligated to make it work. You're good. You're saying, Perry, that it'll work out in, you think by the 1st of August? Huh. That's the tricky part. This is the thing that throws us, is that we think that if we do this then, that it ought to work out today. I wish I could tell you that it would work out today. One of the things God has taught Polly and I at a deep level is how to follow the Spirit of God. We have followed the Spirit of God and done things when every family, every member of our family, generally speaking, all of our friends have said, you're going the wrong way. You're going the wrong way. This won't ever work. You haven't heard from God. Yeah, we heard from Him. This is the same voice we've been following for many years in our life. We're following Him only to experience later that we were following Him. The second thing that we understand and we would like to be able to teach people is God's timing. Most of us do not understand God's timing. We think it ought to work by our timepiece or by our calendar. But somehow or other, it never seems to work by either one. But in God's time. But to speed it up, have the right attitude. Begin to respond to the Scripture as the Scripture teaches you to do. And it will more quickly come to an end. What happens if I don't? I wish you hadn't asked. But I'll have to tell you the answer. He'll get you out of this situation. He'll help you get out. He'll take the pressure off. And then, somewhere in your life later on, you have to face it again. He wants you to grow. He wants you to be strong. He wants you to have strong spiritual biceps to be able to withstand whatever comes your way. But you never get there without going this route. There's no detour around it. There's no bridge over it. There's no tunnel under it. We must go through it with the right attitude. How many will say, Perry, I don't understand all of that, but I want it in my life. Let me see your hand. Just hold it up high. Now I'm going to ask you to stand. I want you to meet me right down here in front. I want to have a quick prayer and we're going to go home. Stand up and come forward. I want to pray with you. Just leave it on.
I'd like to make this statement. That when you finally realize when you finally realize in your heart that God can be trusted with all the circumstances of your life, then you can have the right attitude toward those things.
What do you mean, trusted, baby? What does that mean, to be trusted? I thought we all trusted Him. We trusted Him when we came to know Him as our Savior. What do you mean by that?
I mean that God is able, regardless of what comes our way, to bring us through it. Regardless of what it is, He can be trusted to do that. I had thought for years that I had trusted the Lord.
Yeah, me too. I thought I did.
But I realized one day I came face to face with the fact that I trusted the Lord as long as I could see how it was going to work out.
Yeah.
But if I couldn't see that there was a solution at the end of the tunnel, I realized I wasn't trusting Him.
Yeah.
I was real overly concerned. I was worried, which worry means to be overly concerned. But when one day I realized that, hey, God had the answer at the end of the tunnel, even if I couldn't see it.
Right.
And that I could trust Him to take me through.
Right.
Then I could relax and rely on Him to do that as long as I had the right attitude. And that's the key.
Yes.
That's the key to life in general, working for us in any situation, is the attitude we have toward life. The attitude and knowing that God can be trusted. Doesn't mean that everything's going to go right. Doesn't mean that there'll be no problems. But it does mean that God is the answer and has the answer to all problems.
Come a little bit closer, if you will. Let's feel right in close. I want to pray with you quickly, and we're going to go. I know that God sent us here today. I know that God gave us this message for you today. I know that. I'm going to pray a simple prayer. And will you just repeat it for me? Will you do that? Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I come in Jesus' name.
I come in Jesus' name.
I love you today.
I love you today.
Thank you for your word.
Thank you for your word.
It was for me.
It was for me.
I accept it.
I accept it.
I'm going to live by it.
I'm going to live by it.
I claim it now.
I claim it now.
For my very own.
For my very own.
You wrote that to me.
You wrote that to me.
And to my situation now.
And to my situation now.
And I understand it.
And I understand it.
And I'm going to begin to walk in that direction.
And I'm going to begin to walk in that direction.
Of having the right attitude.
Of having the right attitude.
In the adverse circumstances of my life.
In the adverse circumstances of my life.
Knowing that I release a power.
Knowing that I release a power.
Into that situation.
Into that situation.
That will work out for good.
That will work out for good.
I receive it now.
I receive it now.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen.